For almost all of my 20 years of priesthood, I have had the opportunity to interview the confirmation candidates at my parishes before they receive the sacrament of confirmation. Bishop Harrington started this practice in our diocese when he became our bishop. He said it's not often that you have some dedicated time to talk to a priest. The next time most of our confirmandi will have the opportunity to talk to a priest is when they come to the church to prepare for the sacrament of holy matrimony. So it's been a blessing that over these years I've had the opportunity to interview many, many confirmandi. And I ask some of the same questions to all of them. For example, what is the primary gift you receive in the sacrament of confirmation? And usually I get the deer in headlights look. And I say, well, let me give you a hint. When the bishop confirms you, he says, be sealed with the gift of... And they say, Father, it's on the tip of my tongue. And I say, oh, no problem. Let me give you another hint. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they'll say. And I'll go, whew, right. The primary gift you receive in the sacrament of confirmation is the Holy Spirit. And I say, now, who is the Holy Spirit? And some of them will say, that's a really good question, Father. And I'll say, thanks, I only ask good questions. So, who is the Holy Spirit? But unfortunately, most of the confirmandi are not able to tell me. Now, of course, I take full responsibility. Perhaps I didn't ask the question very well. I'm sure that there's probably a better way to phrase my questions. And as every good teacher knows, every test reveals more about the teacher than the student. When my students did poorly on a test or quiz, it was always my fault. My teaching method, my metaphors and examples clearly were not effective. Every test and quiz revealed to me what areas I had to go back and teach the material again with different analogies and stories. So over the years, it appears that I'm not doing a very good job about teaching on the Holy Spirit. So let's review. The primary gift we receive in the sacrament of confirmation is the Holy Spirit. It's parallel to the gift we receive in Holy Communion. In Holy Communion, we receive the flesh and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. In Holy Communion, we receive the body and blood of God the Son. So in confirmation, we receive God the Holy Spirit. You see, in both sacraments, we're receiving God Himself. In both sacraments, in communion and confirmation, God comes to dwell in us. And I think this last point is the most difficult to grasp. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. That's what we profess every Sunday. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Lord was a word used in the Old Testament to refer only to God. In ancient Israel, they never pronounced the name of God. I am. God's name, I am, was so holy that they never said that name. Instead, they substituted the word Adonai, or in Latin, Dominus, or in English, Lord. It's a name they reserve for God. And so the Holy Spirit is God. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. The first commandment says we can only worship and adore God. So if we're adoring and worshiping the Holy Spirit must be God. How many people would say that the Holy Spirit is a dove? How many people would say that the Holy Spirit is fire? And that's partially true, right? The Holy Spirit descended upon our Blessed Mother and the Apostles in the form of tongues of fire, we heard this morning in the first reading. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in his baptism in the form of a dove. But how many people would say that the Holy Spirit is God? How many people would say that the Holy Spirit is a person? The great philosopher Boethius, who lived in the 500s, said a person is an individual substance of a rational nature. We all had to memorize that in philosophy school. A person is an individual substance of a rational nature. So there are human persons, there are angelic persons, by the way, angels are persons, and there are divine persons. There's only three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not something created by God, like the sun and the moon and the stars. The Holy Spirit is not created like a parakeet. The Holy Spirit is God. How many people think that the Holy Spirit is just like the Force, Luke? How many people think that the Holy Spirit is an energy field created by all living things? It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together, as Obi-Wan Kenobi described the Force in Star Wars. Most people think that that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force, Luke. The Holy Spirit is not some energy drink that we get for superhuman strength. The Holy Spirit is a real person. And if the Holy Spirit is a real person, that means that we can have a relationship with a person. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that what distinguishes the persons of the Trinity are their relations. People today talk often about being in a relationship. But that word, first and foremost, belongs to the relations of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Before the creation of the world, before the creation of the human person, from all eternity, the three persons of the Blessed Trinity are eternally in a relationship with each other. And what is even more amazing is that the most blessed Trinity, who has no need of us, wants to be in a relationship with us. Or said another way, the Holy Trinity wants us to share in their eternal relationship. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, we can have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. How many people say, I pray to God and Jesus? And I respond by saying, I'm really confused here because Jesus is God. So do you mean you're praying to God the Father and God the Son? Okay, great. But do you pray to the Holy Spirit? How many people pray to the Holy Spirit? Even more, how many people have a relationship, a friendship, a communion with God the Holy Spirit? We see in the Bible that Jesus is always in communion with the Holy Spirit. He's constantly being compelled by the Spirit to do things. We see in the Bible that St. Paul, especially these last 50 days of the Easter season. He has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's always going to that town, but not that town, because the Bible says he's listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He clearly has a relationship with this divine person. So, do you think you could pass my confirmation interview now? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not some vague force or energy field in the universe. The Holy Spirit is a real person, a divine person, that is not far away from us in a galaxy far, far away, but comes to dwell in us. And I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps our goal this Pentecost Sunday would be to fan into flame our real, personal, intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit. I remember after every Mass, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say a very special prayer to the Holy Spirit written by Saint Augustine. I can still hear her say it in her beautiful Indian English accent, this prayer of Saint Augustine to the Holy Spirit. I pray it myself every day because I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I published the prayer in the bulletin last Sunday. Perhaps this prayer can jumpstart us into this personal relationship with God the Holy Spirit. It goes like this. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy. Amen.